Once again, welcome everyone, and especially to our Crossroad Kids families. We're honored that you accepted your invitation to join us, to be here today. Your kids are important to us, not only for us, again, who work with them on a regular basis, but as you could have seen this morning, that we all here at Calvary Christian Church care for your kids. And we consider it a blessing and a wonderful honor that you have entrusted them into our care as much as you do. It's a privilege for us. I want to call your attention this morning to a text in the Gospel according to Mark. It's Mark chapter 10, verse 13 through 16 that we're going to be looking at. It will be on the screen for your convenience, but if you want to open your Bibles and follow along, feel free to. Also, if you want to use the Pew Bibles, it's page 1570 is where you'll find that text. In chapter 10, verse 13, it starts off just by saying, people were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. Parents and presumably grandparents, perhaps some other guardians, caregivers, were bringing their kids to Jesus. Particularly it says their little ones. The Greek language indicates even perhaps infants that they're bringing to Jesus to have him touch them. Why in the world would they do that? I believe that at this time they probably didn't have a real clear picture yet as to exactly who Jesus was, but they understood enough to know that they wanted their kids to have contact with him. They believed that that contact, that interaction with Jesus would be a blessing to their children. They'd heard he was a great teacher from God, I'm confident of that. Likely they'd heard of some of his miracles. Our story doesn't tell us if their kids had any special needs. Maybe some of them had serious illnesses. Maybe some of them had some severe handicaps. We don't know. It could be that others were poor and malnourished. Perhaps some had behavior issues. Well, wait a minute. Let's rephrase that. They were kids. Of course they had behavior issues. All kids have some behavior issues. The point is that many of the kids were what we would just say are normal kids. Just normal kids. Nothing particularly special about them other than they were special to their parents, to their grandparents, to those who were caregivers of them. And they believed in their heart of hearts that there would be a blessing in bringing those children to Jesus. Much like you might bring a perfectly healthy child in for an immunization, some brought their children, I'm sure, for prayers of protection. Similar to how you might bring a child to a priest or a minister or a rabbi for a blessing or to be dedicated, they brought their little ones to this man of God. I don't know if they formed an orderly procession, lining up, you know, single file, patiently taking turns, or if they all ran together in a mob like our kids do at Crossroads every week. You know, when you say we have a treat, here they come. When you say, hey, we're going to dismiss you, they're all up and ready to go even before we say you're dismissed. They're ready to go. And then they go in this mob, you know, because there's something they're eager to do. There's something they're eager to receive. And parents can be that way too. So I don't know, you know, whether this was an orderly fashion or not. But people brought them to see Jesus. The disciples, the followers of Jesus, it says, rebuked them. Think on that a minute. It's almost as if they said, security alert, security alert, James, there's some kids in the crowd. Peter, copy that. You know, maybe we better set up a line here, you know, we better watch out because we don't want kids to get too close to Jesus. I mean, you know, it could be a scene. There could be a problem. Jesus' followers didn't like this entourage of parents and children forming towards Jesus. More to the point, they probably didn't think Jesus wanted to be bothered. Surely he had more important stuff to do, you know, than to deal with a bunch of snot-nosed kids. Right? So they rebuked them, and I don't know what they said. Maybe it was something like, back off, or pick a number, or maybe it was, wait till you're called, or maybe, you know what, you've come at a bad time. Take the kids back home, don't call us, we'll call you if and when Jesus has time. Meantime, go home, chill. Leave Jesus alone. When Jesus saw this, the text says he was indignant. When Jesus heard what was going on, he was more than a little miffed. He was angry. He was angry. And as I've written in the bulletin article for the kids and parents to work through maybe later on, this might be hard for us to conceive, hard for us to accept that Jesus, the loving, compassionate, kind, caring Jesus, would ever get angry, would ever get upset. Yet the Bible says there were more times than one when he did get angry. Though he never sinned, he did get angry at times, and particularly when children, widows, those who were maybe weak and defenseless, were mistreated or abused. He got upset. But I want you to take note that it wasn't the kids that Jesus was upset with. It wasn't the parents or the grandparents or the guardians. He wasn't upset with them. He was upset with his disciples, with his followers, because of their attitudes towards the children and those who were bringing them. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." Don't make it difficult for them to come. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never even enter it. In essence, he tells the disciples, knock it off. He says, get out of the way, you guys, and let the kids through. They belong here. They belong here. Imagine trying to keep Malia and Sasha Obama from coming to the White House. Do you think that could be problematic? They belong there. It's their home. Their father would probably be a bit miffed again. Here's something else particularly worth noting, I think, in our text. So often, see, we want kids to act more like us, don't we? We want our kids to act like us, act like adults. And sometimes that's exactly what they do, and then we're correcting them for acting ways that they shouldn't. I wonder why that is. Because sometimes we as adults don't always have the right behavior, attitudes, character. Matter of fact, notice again who Jesus was upset with. Was it the kids? No, it was some adults. Jesus is saying there are qualities that kids possess that we need to aspire to. I think of humility, innocence, trust. We need to be more like them in those regards. And our text says that he then took the children in his arms. He put his hands on them and he blessed them. He did what the parents, the grandparents, the guardians, the caregivers desired would be done. They came for a blessing. They came for him to put his hands on them, and that's exactly what he did. Periodically, parents come to me and ask me to bless their little ones. Sometimes they're asking me to baptize them. Though I don't see any biblical precedent for baptizing babies, I know there are churches who do that, but I believe it's a rite reserved for consenting, repenting believers, for people who come to that decision to do that for themselves. But the concept of bringing children for a blessing is certainly supported in our text today, isn't it? The concept, the idea of bringing children to Jesus, bringing children to God for a blessing, for a dedication, is certainly biblical. Anyone who believes in God and loves their kids, I believe will want his divine protection and provision. I believe they'll want that. They'll desire that. Yet in practical terms, how does God fulfill the blessing? How does he do that? I believe he chiefly does it to the parents and the guardians once again. So today I'd like to challenge parents, grandparents, caregivers to recognize the all-important role that you have to be instruments of God to bestow that blessing. For all intents and purposes, hear me, you are the hands of Jesus this morning. You are the hands that God wants to use to bless your children. Jesus speaks of children having angels in heaven in Matthew 18. But guess, once again, who the primary guardian angels are upon this earth. When it comes to feeding the children, does God rain down manna from heaven in your house? Does he do that? Is that happening in your neighborhood? If it is, I'll be over there. Just let me know next time it's happening. I want to see it, but I also would like to benefit from it. But that's not normally how he does it, is it? He has done that in the past, but it's not normally how he does it. What he does is he provides parents to nurture children. To see that they are fed, that they have their physical needs met. When it comes to education, does God just infuse them with knowledge? Or does he expect us to teach them? Or at least see that they're taught? When it comes to protection, I don't know about you, but my kids, God provided this plastic bubble. They just went around in a bubble all through their life. You know, no, it didn't happen. Hasn't happened for you either, has it? How does he provide that protection that you ask for, that you pray for, that you ask his blessing? How does he do that? Once again, who are those guardian angels he sends? I don't generally see, and I believe there's a spiritual dimension that we don't see where there are angelic forces at work. Don't misunderstand me. But I haven't seen any cherubim with swords keeping my children safe. They may be doing that. I don't see them. But primarily what I do see is God providing parents, grandparents, caregivers to take the child by the hand when they cross the street. To see that they are warm and safe and protected from the elements. To try to teach them even principles that would keep them from hurting themselves or hurting others in the future. To put away any harmful or poisonous substances, keep them out of their reach, and yes, to maybe restrict children from doing things that they don't have the wisdom to know could hurt them or be harmful. And also to train the children. In the process, not just always doing for them, but teaching them to do for themselves too, and trying to teach them to make some wise choices so that they can be protected in their future when you can't be around. And that hopefully, prayerfully, with God's blessing, that those children will grow up someday maybe and have children of their own, and that they will impart to them the wisdom, the knowledge that you have shared with them, and that they will become protectors themselves for their own children. I know as a grandparent, it gives me great joy to see my kids taking care of my grandkids. Well, spiritual training. We here at Calvary believe that God calls for us as a church to come alongside and help with that. If we didn't think that, we wouldn't be involved in Crossroad Kids Club. Neither would we provide classes and care for kids whenever people are here for gathering times. We do this to assist parents, yet we believe that the primary responsibility, once again, for teaching a child about God and His Word still rests on the shoulders of the family. We don't want to take that responsibility away or hinder you from bringing your kids to Jesus personally. We never want to do that. We want to come alongside and help. Equip, if possible. Assist, if possible. Realizing and recognizing their primary responsibility belongs to you. It belongs to you. After Jesus placed his hands on the children and blessed them, he handed the kids back to their parents. Grandparents, isn't that a wonderful thing to do? Bless the kids and hand them... Jesus did that not because he wanted to relinquish his care But he did pass on responsibility. And he's there to assist and equip and help with parents, grandparents, caregivers. What an important role that you have. I see so many of the Crossroad kids, and it's evident to me in dealing with them, they have a great, great support at home. When I see that, it just warms my heart. And I want to thank you for what you're doing for your kids. I want to thank you for the goodness that you're sharing with them, for the way you're caring for them. We commend you. We commend you for doing that. We do. But when one of the Crossroad kids runs up to me at Thompson Elementary or here at church, and this is my second graders, this is them, all but Jace. Jace couldn't be here today. He's a newcomer on the block. But when they run up to me here at church or at the school and they want a hug, they want a high five, or they want a fist bump, what should my response be? I don't have time for you. Back off. You know, I have bigger fish to fry. Do I throw up a roadblock? When they excitedly share the good news of a report card or tell me they earned a homework coupon, I'd never even heard of such a thing until last week. Nigel comes up to me and says, I got a homework coupon. I said, a what? She did something exceptional in class, and the teacher recognized that, and she doesn't have to do her homework that night. Hallelujah, where were they when I was in school? And even if they'd have been there, would I got any? Probably not. What do you do with that? You celebrate with them. Congratulations. Good job. When they come and they tell me they got a new gadget or a new toy, Alex came up to me and he says, hey, Mr. Steve, I got a record player. And I thought, he can't mean that. I doubt if he even knows what that is. I said, you mean a CD player? No, a record player. I said, you mean vinyl? Yeah. Why? No. I was like, really? Yeah. And he was so excited that he got a record player and vinyl. And he was telling me about some of the albums he had. Probably no surprise to you, most of them were from the 70s. And I knew them. Yeah. But I was like, he was so excited. What do you do? Wow, great. So you communicate, you celebrate that with him, right? You don't turn a deaf ear. You rejoice. When they come to show you they got a reward for reciting a memory verse, my goodness. We had so many of the kids at first who said, I can't memorize. No, I can't do this. I can't do that. And now we do give them a little treat if they recite their memory work. Now, I will be honest with you. We are gracious about that. We're not looking for necessarily always a word for word. We might take the message, okay? But the gist of it, you know, getting it. But the kids come up, Mr. Steve, look. And they'll show me their candy that they got. They're doing their memory verse. High five on that one, amen? Congratulations. You want to celebrate with them again. When parents bring them to an event like this, how should they be greeted? With open arms. The children and their parents and their families with open arms. Why isn't that what Jesus teaches us we should do? Matter of fact, in a previous chapter, Mark chapter 9, Jesus actually says, when we welcome a little child in his name, we welcome him. Now, the adverse would also be true then, wouldn't it? If we rejected a little child, if we held a little child at arm's length, how does he perceive that? I think he might get indignant. I think he might. So, bring the kids to Jesus. He accepts them. He loves them. And he wants for us to do that too. And guess what? If we really have his heart, we will welcome them too. We will do that too. But may I say this, just kind of closing this out. Jesus does want us to bring him our children. But he wants us to linger too. He wants us to linger too. He wants more than just a relationship with our kids. He wants a relationship with us. Because the way that he will equip and help us down the road and throughout life to be that blessing is when we maintain a relationship with him too. He wants that. We need that. Jesus is looking for more than a once-in-a-lifetime visit. He loves your child. He loves you. And he invites you and your children to an eternal, lifelong relationship. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you in Jesus' name for the reminder today of how much you love us in sending him, but also in how much he loves children and he loves those who love children. Thank you, Father, so much for those who are represented today. Thank you, God, for the hearts that they have, for their kids, for their families. We pray, Father, you'll bless them with a special blessing today. A measure of your faith and trust, and Father, also a measure of your strength and power. God, thank you. Thank you for all that you've done, are doing, and promise yet to do. We believe. In Jesus' name, amen.